There are people interested in looking at Abraxane in combination with chemoradiation in stage 3 disease. There are some discussions ongoing in the adjuvant setting, and now that we've kind of adopted the paradigm of adjuvant therapy in lung cancer, one of the issues that we have to be aware of is that in stage 1 disease, for example, the majority of patients are cured. Adjuvant therapy is going to increase the rates that are being cured. And we want to be very cognizant of any cumulative toxicities that one gets from the parent compound. And certainly neuropathy is one of those things. And so I think it's appropriate to study these sorts of things in the adjuvant setting. Now, whether or not we will see phase 3 trials in which pure cytotoxic questions are addressed, such as carbotaxol versus carboabraxane, I don't know that we'll ever see something like that. I don't even know if we'll see carbotaxol versus carbogem or cis-taxol versus carbotaxol or those basic cytotoxic questions. You know, I think the issues in adjuvant therapy right now are centered around the fact that most of the positive data is with cisplatin, but most U.S. oncologists use carboplatin. Is it equally efficacious in the adjuvant setting in terms of carboplatin? We certainly know it's easier to give and safer to give, but is this a situation where you want to compromise treatment if there's a difference between the two platinums with regard to efficacy? The other issue is that the post-lung cancer resected patient is a tough patient to get treatment in, and certainly you want to use more palliable regimens, if you will. And so that's the attractiveness of an Abraxane approach, is that you could use a very active agent, have a targeted mechanism to any micrometastases that you might have, and you can do this with minimal long-term toxicity in this patient population.
It's interesting to consider, you know, how much research data it takes to have people change their practices. Reminds me a little bit of, can you substitute capecitabine for 5-FU and colon cancer? I mean, this is paclitaxel. What's your view about how much phase 3 data we're going to need in these various settings to make this kind of a switch?
I think that's an excellent point. This is an old friend in a new dress, if you will. And from my point of view, I would be satisfied with a large phase 2 or random phase 2 experience. I'm not sure that I would need to see a large, well-powered phase 3 trial unless I was trying to prove the point that Abraxane may be more efficacious than the parent compound. That's one issue.
Although I guess it doesn't need to be more efficacious
right.
to be more useful.
I agree with that. I would be happy without sacrificing efficacy, because there's nothing about this drug and the way it works and what we know about the technology that's going to make it less efficacious. We aren't compromising efficacy. And I think you could win the argument by saying this is easier to give, you aren't troubled with pre-medications, and so on and so forth. So from my point of view, I would be happy with phase 2 data. The issue is, in the regulatory environment we live in, how can your company position itself in the marketplace and have your representative talk to a physician about, here's why you should be using my drug? Obviously, I think what Abraxis is interested in is expanding their indication, and what they will be required to do to gain that expanded indication is going to be up to discussions between them and the FDA.
Of course, there are also costs and reimbursement issues.
Right. With the taxanes being generic, this is a more costly approach right now.
But just to kind of get back to your point, so you're saying you'd want to see at least a phase 2, a randomized phase 2, in what, the first-line metastatic setting?
Yeah.
Now, if you saw that, for example, would you be open to, assuming you could get it paid for, using in the adjuvant setting?
Yes. You raise a good point, is that what are docs out there using in the adjuvant setting? I think that if you were out there practicing evidence-based medicine, we'd all be using in the node-positive patients either cisnavalbine or cisetoposide, and in the node-negative patients, the 1Bs, we'd be using carbotaxol. What I suspect is going on is that whatever people use in the stage 4 setting that they're comfortable using, whatever platinum-based doublet that is, they're probably using the same thing in the adjuvant setting. We don't really have any comparative data in the adjuvant setting, so getting back to your question, if you had a comparative, robust, random phase 2 trial that suggested that there's no reason to think there's less efficacy, and maybe in a randomized phase 2, if this mechanism or the formulation really does lead to greater efficacy, you might get a hint of that, then I would personally have no problem using that in the adjuvant setting, given that information.